So it's Wednesday night, and it's August 28th, 2013. And this is Susan substituting tonight for Corinne. And it's just Deidre and I tonight. So we are going to jump in and begin reading in the Sparkly Edition. It's page 160, and it's the Total Commitment. Last week, understand you read an area, and it basically, let's see, I took some notes here. Okay, it basically covered the fact that fear arises when I believe what God does not know. And so what the Course asks me to do is look at my beliefs, because my beliefs are what make me believe. It's sort of a loop. The beliefs about myself are what I think give this Susan identity this reality. And what the Course is saying is that God doesn't know of this separate self, this separate body that, you know, walks around. God only knows oneness, and so I, in truth, have never, the truth of me has never left the mind of God. But when my thoughts seem to contradict God's, this makes it appear as if I'm attacking God, and that puts me in a very frightening position, because the ego does believe it can attack God, and it tries to persuade me as a mind that I have done this. And I would like to, you know, I'll be talking back and forth with you, Deidre. Have you thought, you know, in when you've begun reading the Course, exactly what the Course talks about you as being mind and purely mind? Like, have you ever thought, you know, what really does that mean?
Well, in terms of my study of the Course, the more I study of the Course, I know that in the mind is where the relationship with spirit exists. So anything that's of the body, or my identification with Deidre as a body, is connected with the ego. And so any sort of belief system that my ego tries to hook me into believing that I am separate from God or spirit, I know instantly that I'm in the ego then. And so it's a daily practice, because that ego loves to get in there and tries anything it can to get in there and convince me that I am separate from God or spirit. But it's always about coming back to center. And the more I practice the Course, or the principles of the Course, the more it's easier to remember that on a moment-to-moment basis. And it really is, for me, it's moment-to-moment, because the ego just loves to get in there and try its tricks to keep me from remembering who I really am. Yeah.
That's very, very well said. Very well said. And tell me if you can't hear me. I've got an earpiece on so that I can talk and wave my hands while I'm talking.
Okay.
but I can get on the regular landline if you can't hear me well, okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. This past week I had, it was sort of a joke in my head where I had caught myself making a judgment about something, and immediately I call it my spiritual ego, moved in and said, oh, wait a minute, you know, you've done the same thing in the past, and therefore you really, you know, shouldn't criticize, you know, what you're saying this person, you know, meant by what they said. And I started, again, I was aware that that was the ego trying to do the Holy Spirit's job, because I know for me, when I catch that thought, that's the time I need to hand it right over to the Holy Spirit. It's not about understanding the ego. It's all about giving those ego thoughts over immediately and not trying to clean them up. So I thought, you know, I would do a blog, and then I thought, well, it's going to be an awfully long title, because the title is going to be, "Hey, I had this judgment. I cleaned it up. Can I keep it?" And I think that that's what, you know, happens a lot, and that's why it comes back again. I mean, the Course does promise us that trials are but lessons that come around again where you made a faulty choice the first time. So even, you know, when my spiritual ego gets in there, I don't have to worry about it, that the consequences of my wrong decision, you know, will be undone if I let the Holy Spirit. Okay, at this point, let's just commence with the reading then. Again, on page 160, we'll be reading the total commitment. "Whenever you deny a blessing to a brother, you will feel deprived. This is because denial is as total as love. It is as impossible to deny part of the sonship as it is to love it in part. Nor is it possible to love it totally at times. You cannot be totally committed sometimes." And I'll pause here and just interject. That is, you know, why we still have conflict, because we aren't totally committed. And again, the Course assures us that it doesn't matter. God wills that we be with Him, and there is nothing that we can do, even with all our, you know, delay and our excuses, there's still nothing that will prevent the inevitable happy coming home. And it says, "You cannot be totally committed sometimes. Remember a very early lesson. Never underestimate the power of denial. It has no power in itself, but you can give it the power of your mind, whose power is without limit of any kind. If you use it to deny reality, reality is gone for you. Reality cannot be partly appreciated. That is why denying any part of it means you have lost awareness of all of it." Any comments, Deidre?
It's just bringing up from you, like, I've been thinking about this a lot lately in terms of the Course and the idea, you know, the idea that the Course talks a lot about, that we all have one mind, we are one mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that line that you were talking about, lost my spot with it here, but the one about you can't have one thing part of the way, kind of, it makes me feel like spiritually, on a global scale, there's this awakened consciousness that's coming up. I can feel it in the world, like, There's a part of us that are still very much sleeping, but then there's this other part that's spiritually awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take the Course's idea that we're all one mind, then we can sort of use this example of a partial, you can't do things part way, and I feel like humanity as one mind is growing, and so that inevitability that you're talking about, that we cannot be separate from God, and this is all part of God's plan, like, the rest of humanity is is in this process of waking up as well. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
That, you know, in essence, that's what the Course is saying. It's saying that, you know, you, me, because we are doing the Course, we are being asked to light the lamp. You know, it's already there or in our brothers, but it may be totally overshadowed because, you know, they haven't seen the light yet, but the Course is saying it's never about them, it's about me, and am I willing to look past appearances? Am I willing to look past, you know, the Christ's vision has one law, it looks past the body, it does not see the body, and the Course tells me, you know, warns me that with my body's eyes, you know, Susan's ego identification, I will always see bodies. And so it's not about not seeing the body. It's about my choice to turn inward to the Holy Spirit and then allow the Holy Spirit to give me vision. And the vision is going to be some experience, something, either a shift in my mind. It could be an experience that is in the world that is totally unexpected, totally unlike anything perhaps I've experienced, and I'll know it. I'll just know, you know, by its nature that, you know, how could this be, and yet there it is. So I think, you know, you're right on with that, that, you know, it is what you're describing, Deidre, is what the Course explains as grace, and, you know, grace is the acceptance of God's love in a loveless world, and that you can see your brothers as being further along than perhaps they, you know, really are, but you then are expressing grace, you, and that's a beautiful, you know, beautiful, I mean, what, you know, higher thing could you ask for?
So, well, I think, like, I've had a lot of life experiences, especially since coming to study the Course, and I used to be in a very different place where I felt like my, you know, for some reason in my ego-driven mind, if I had relationships with people and stuff, I would often feel like I would have to change myself or even at some times change other people in order to make a difference in the world. But the Course has really taught me that I really don't have to change anything. In fact, it's the most loving thing I can do is not change anything and just accept things as they are and see the beauty and the learning experience out of each thing that comes up, like the line in the Course that says, seek not to change the world, but seek to change your mind about the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, I think that kind of relates to what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that does sum it up. That does sum it up. Good. Okay, I will continue. Okay, let's see, where did we leave off now? I think I finished the first paragraph. All right, so we'll continue. Second paragraph. Actually, I better go back and reread. Remember a very early lesson. Never underestimate the power of denial. It has no power in itself, but you can give it the power of your mind, whose power is without limit of any kind. If you use it to deny reality, reality is gone for you. Reality cannot be partly appreciated. That is why denying any part of it means you have lost awareness of all of it. That is the negative side of the law as it operates in this world. Yet denial is a defense, and so it is as capable of being used positively as it is of being used destructively. Used negatively, it will be destructive, because it will be used for attack. But in the service of the Holy Spirit, the law requires you to recognize only part of reality to appreciate all of it. Mind is too powerful to be subject to exclusion. You will never be able to exclude yourself from what you project. When a brother acts insanely, he is offering you an opportunity to bless him. His need is yours. You need the blessing you can offer him. There is no way for you to have it except by giving it. This is the law of God, and it has no exceptions. What you deny, you lack, not because it is lacking, but because you have denied it in another and are therefore not aware of it in you. Every response you make is determined by what you think you are, and what you want to be is what you think you are. Therefore, what you want to be determines every response you make. I think that also harkens back to one of the lessons where it says you should ask yourself 1,000 times a day, who walks with me? And your partner who's walking with you, you know, is going to either be the ego or the Holy Spirit. And the Course says, you know, if you choose the ego, you're choosing for nothing, because the only reality is the Holy Spirit. But it was always hard for me to accept that everything I see is the outpicturing of the contents of my own mind. And so if I see a world that is cruel, if I see a world that seems chaotic, it's actually the contents of my mind, and I've chosen for the ego, not for the Holy Spirit. So again, another opportunity to choose again.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, I was just going to say, I think that line about if you're choosing not to bless your brother, you're also choosing not to bless yourself. And I feel that that's such a powerful message, because everything is a mirror reflection, like you were saying, projected on to yourself as well as your brother. Mm-hmm. So it's always such a powerful reminder, and we need reminders on a daily basis of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, again, you know, being aware that, you know, the ego is very insidious, loves to get in there and, you know, say, don't worry, everything's okay, you know, the spiritual ego will take care of this, and instead I need to, you know, seize the moment when, you know, a judgment thought occurs, and it doesn't matter, you know, if you go to the very beginning lessons, it doesn't matter if it's the fact that I'm judging that it's a lousy day, you know, outside with the weather. It's a judgment, and so I would take that thought and say, you know, take this from me, Holy Spirit, because if I'm going to see it as, oh, what an awful day today is, then that's exactly what I'm going to be getting back. And one wonders, why do I still choose for that? But again, it's a, you know, process. We are so addicted to our so-called senses and our love of having an opinion that, you know, the Holy Spirit is a very gentle guide and never intrudes, and so we have to want to give it to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we, you know, God will not stop us from, you know, what we choose, because He knows eventually we'll learn, you know, by our mistakes. Did you want to say something?
Oh no, I was just gonna say that there's a beautiful spirit. She's normally on the calls with us during the study group, and she's often brings up the comment of when you're trying to make a decision between the two voices, you know, whether it's the ego voice or the voice for spirit, she often stops herself and she says, would the voice for God, the voice for spirit, the voice for love be saying the things that I'm hearing in my mind? And often you'll find that the answer is no, because of course spirit is completely unconditionally loving. And so even like what you were saying before about your spiritual ego coming in and trying to get in there, all of that judgment that your spiritual ego was saying is not the truth. So it's being used for you to judge yourself against. And so if I remember to say, you know, would the voice of love, would the voice of spirit, would the voice for God be saying the things that I am saying to myself in my mind right now? And it always helps me come back to center, because it always helps me recognize the voice of the ego, because the voice of the ego is so insidious, like you were saying. This is so sneaky.
Let me pause here and ask, is there anybody else online at this point? Okay. All right. Let's continue. You do not need God's blessing, since that you have forever, but you do need yours. The picture you see of yourselves is deprived, unloving, and very vulnerable. You cannot love this. Yet you can very easily escape from it, or better, leave it behind. You are not there, and that is not you. Do not see this picture in anyone, or you have accepted it as you. All illusions about the sonship are dispelled together as they were made together. Teach no one that he is what you would not want to be. Your brother is the mirror in which you will see the image of yourself as long as perception lasts. And perception will last until the sonship knows itself as whole. You made perception, and it must last as long as you want it. Illusions are investments. They will last as long as you value them. Values are relative, but they are powerful because they are mental judgments. The only way to dispel illusions is to withdraw all investment from them, and they will have no life for you because you have put them out of your mind. While you include them in it, you are giving life to them, except there is nothing there to receive your gift. The gift of life is yours to give because it was given you. You are unaware of your gift because you do not give it. You cannot make nothing live since it cannot be enlivened. Therefore, you are not extending the gift you both have and are, and so you do not know your being. All confusion comes from not extending life, since that is not the will of your Creator. You can do nothing apart from Him, and you do nothing apart from Him. Keep His way to remember yourselves, and teach His way, lest you forget yourselves. Give only honor to the sons of the living God, and count yourselves among them gladly. Okay, I was going to make a comment, and unfortunately, Deidre, you're on the spot, because my question would be, if you'd want to share your thoughts about what do you think giving life means? You know, I think you can say in this life most people would, and you know, again, this worldly earthly existence, most people would think giving life is giving birth, you know, isn't that giving life? But I think the Course is not talking about that.
For me, everything on a spiritual plane is about giving and extending love. So it's about in what ways in our lives spiritually and energetically, you're right, not just giving birth or life, but how do we express and celebrate love in ourselves and in others and of the planet and energetically in all ways.
Yeah, I took a few notes here, and I wrote down, you know, you in this world, you look at the ego's linear belief system, and it's a linear life. Oh, you're born, you know, you live a while, and then you die. But, you know, and then, you know, you have children to more or less continue the species, but not everyone has children. Some people give birth to a business. Some people give birth to an idea, you know, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, and the idea catches on and becomes, you know, this agreed upon, you know, belief system that, you know, perhaps changes the way, you know, laws are or the way people live. But, I do believe that the Course is, you know, talking that the worldly picture actually masks life, because life is the oneness, and like you said, it's that loving energy that has no opposite, and it's not something that we can fully comprehend while we are in these self-imposed limitations that, you know, we really are attached to, you know, otherwise known as, you know, the ego body identification. But the it always helps me when, you know, I'm in a situation where I'm either thinking of someone because of conflict, or that I, you know, have, again, that out-picturing where I don't want to say it's coming from me, you know, it's this other person who has an issue. I, a lot of times, imagine the other person has a mask on that's hiding the face of Christ. And do I want to react to the mask, or do I want to, you know, basically see the face of Christ? And, you know, it's sort of a little nudge to then turn it over to the Holy Spirit instead of, you know, going on and on with obsessing about, you know, something, you know, which would have, before I did the course, might have, you know, I might have invested years over some incident or something like that.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's important to mention that it's not something that ever ends, you know, like it just keeps going, whether we're having an experience that is linked to this world of form, or whether it's, you know, when we transition, or what we know of transition, you know. I'm talking sort of abstractly now, but there's a quote from Abraham Hicks, and they say, you can't get it wrong and you never get it done. And so I feel like, you know, the work, as we progress as souls, it just keeps evolving.
If I would, you know, from the Course point of view, Course states that our souls have never left God, but a part of the mind, you know, if you think about God extending and you know, and again, he asked us if we wanted to be created, and it's incomprehensible here, but when we said yes, we agreed to become the extension of him as his child, and as his child, he gave us everything. You know, he made us his world, and he was our world. And so, you know, his creation of us was perfect, but the part of the mind of this new extension had in it also the experience, let's say, of, you know, God, when God was oneness and didn't, you know, yet extend, and that was, you know, God unto God, you know, being the Father. And so this, you know, child mind had the idea, just like a two-year-old would want to dress up like, you know, the parent, this little bit of, you know, the child mind had a tiny mad thought that it could be the father, and that's when it, instead of laughing about the idea, decided to play with it and try it on, only it had gotten frightened because it had the thought and got frightened. And so instead of allowing, you know, God to console it, it decided to, you know, continue thinking that way to see what the experience would be like. Are you following me with this?
Yes.
So, you know, there's this, you know, the child mind that God, you know, extended, and, you know, it is, you know, a child. It's like newly born. And so, again, just as we would mimic it here, you know, this, say, two-year-old decides that, you know, he wants to be daddy, or she wants to be mommy, and have their own little world. And that's exactly what happened when the little part of that mind, that tiny mad thought, had all the power of God in it. When it shut its spiritual eye to God, it became solid, it became concrete, and that's exactly what we have here. We have a world of form, a world where, you know, we think we're encased in a body, trapped in a body, you know, when we finally realize that, you know, hey, wait a minute, I'm not having a whole lot of fun here, and, you know, the world's looking pretty frightening, and, you know, things here decay, you know, there's storms, there's war, and yeah, you know, I'm supposed to say that, you know, this is the result of a loving God. You know, it becomes like, wait a minute, how could God want this for me? And it isn't God wanting it for us. It was the godlike power that this little child mind played with and basically, you know, wanted to try out autonomy, wanted to try out, you know, being the father, and stubbornly refused to look back, mostly, you know, I'd say out of fear. And with that, when that happened in that instant, God placed the Holy Spirit in the mind of the child for all time, but it was to be a gentle waking, you know, as the Course says, God realized, you know, oh, my child sleeps because the communication isn't coming back to me, and so I must gently waken my child. And that's where, again, the Holy Spirit never intrudes. It's up to us to want to turn to the Holy Spirit. So, you know, that, like I said, is basically, you know, how I understand the Course. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why Helen Schuckman always steered away from using the word soul, because it had so many meanings attached to it. But I understand, you know, what you're saying.
Yeah, I just meant that, you know, we're always in evolving, you know, and universally as one mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that line in the Course that says basically the God loves everything that we create without judgment because we created it and for no other reason. So
mm-hmm.
even when we create in a misinformed way, we're still unconditionally loved and accepted by the Holy Spirit. So
yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Honor is a fitting gift for those whom God Himself created worthy of honor and whom He honors. Give them the appreciation which God accords them always, because they are His beloved sons in whom He is well pleased. You cannot be apart from them because you are not apart from Him. Rest in His love and protect your rest by loving, but love everything He created of which you are a part, or you cannot learn of His peace and accept His gift for yourself and as yourself. You cannot know your own perfection until you have honored all those who were created like you. One child of God is the only teacher sufficiently worthy to teach another. One teacher is in all your minds, and he teaches the same lesson to all. He always teaches you the inestimable worth of every son of God, teaching it with infinite patience born of the infinite love for which he speaks. Every attack is a call for his patience, since only his patience translate attack into blessing. Those who attack do not know they are blessed. They attack because they believe they are deprived. Give, therefore, of your abundance and teach your brothers theirs. Do not share their delusions of scarcity, or you will perceive yourself as lacking. Attack could never promote attack unless you perceived it as a means of depriving you of something you want. Yet you cannot lose anything unless you did not value it and therefore did not want it. This makes you feel deprived of it, and by projecting your own rejection, you believe that others are taking it from you. One must be fearful if he believes that his brother is attacking him to tear the kingdom of heaven from him. This is the ultimate basis for all of the ego's projection. Being the part of your mind which does not believe it is responsible for itself, and being without allegiance to God, the ego is incapable of trust. Projecting its insane belief that you have been treacherous to your Creator, it believes that your brothers, who are as incapable of this as you are out to take God from you. Whenever a brother attacks another, this is what he believes. Projection always sees your will in others. If you will to separate yourself from God, that is what you will think others are doing to you. And I love this next sentence. You are the will of God. Do not accept anything else as your will, or you are denying what you are. And that's a tough one. I mean, you know, when you think about it, you wake up in the morning. I know the first thing I do is sort of this, like, sensing for fear. And, you know, I'll wake up and I'll sense if there's, like, any anxiety, body aches, things like that. And then I catch myself and I'm like, okay, let's start again. Let's start again and, you know, let me sense presence of God instead. And, you know, so I try to begin my meditation before I even get out of bed in the morning. I remember there was a joke, and someone said, you know, they were writing in their journal or something, writing a letter to God, I think it was, and it said, you know, I'm doing very well, you know, I haven't had any judgment thoughts, and so far, you know, so good. Now I think I'll get out of bed. So they hadn't even started their day yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, the Holy Spirit is there all the time and meets us, you know, wherever we're at. And when we slip, you know, the important thing is not to feel guilty about it. And as soon as I sense, you know, feeling guilty, I realize that the ego is delightedly, you know, rubbing its hands together just like a fly. And my, you know, nudge, you know, is, all right, get still, step back, step aside, you know, give this to the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, stay in that, you know, don't take it back and examine it type of thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but I think someone might have come on the call a little bit ago.
Is there anybody there? Nope.
They might have muted themselves.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi.
Hi, this is Angela. I mute to just keep the, you know, to keep the static out of it. But
yeah,
I'm listening.
Yeah. Oh, good. How long
Hi, Angela.
On?
You've been in my thoughts.
Really? Oh, thank you so much. You're very sweet. How is everyone?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
So how long have you been on the call with us?
5 minutes, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe okay. A little bit more than 5 minutes. Actually,
okay,
like 8 minutes. But I'm not sure where we are, so I'm just listening.
Okay, it's just me and Deidre tonight, and, you know, welcome. You know,
thank
she
you.
And I have, we started reading on page 160 in the Sparkly. I didn't even look up. I totally forgot about looking up the cross references.
That's okay. 160,
okay.
What's the name of the...
The heading they have is the total commitment. So we're
total
on page
commitment.
Yeah,
okay.
We're on page 160.
Well, you know what?
Right?
I'll listen, and if I happen to find it, then I will find it. But in the meantime, I'll listen. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. We're on the bottom of 162 now, the last paragraph.
Okay.
So, you know, how have you been? Have you had any insights or?
I can basically just tell you. I realize I practice more and more, and I understand it's taken at least since it's last time we were meeting face to face. It's taking some going away, some coming back, and now things mean more to me. And something that was said a little while ago struck a chord, and what struck a chord was that my trust in my brother, you know, or any brother, you know what I mean, any brother, is my trust is never there. My ego is always doubting. And so what I come up with is that's another point of evidence in my mind that this is a dream, because why would I just keep, it's the same story. It just goes on, and it's, you know, and I can so identify with the first thing I wake up. Some people say they will wake up peaceful, and I do not wake up peaceful. So I get it. I have to start, you know, right from before my feet get out of the bed also, and just say, okay, let me pray and go from there. So, I think you know, it's now I begin to understand. I was on lesson 25 today, and I think lesson 25 was I don't know what anything is for. And it things come together for me because now I understand the I that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the ego I. It's I, the capital I. Or at least I think I'm on the right track.
Yeah. You know, I would, if I, you know, of course, here, you know, here comes Susan's take on it. But if I were, you know, inclined, I would take what's written here, and I would change when the course is talking about the ego, I would make it a small I. Even on the page before, the sentence that, but love everything God created of which you are a part, or you cannot learn of his peace, and accept his gift for yourself and as yourself. They have yourself as, you know, small letters and one word. I would have changed it, you know, to accept, you know, and as your capital self, you know, because it would have, like, clarified it, but it's okay, you know, it's written the way it's written, and when I'm ready to see it, there it is, you know, there it is.
And that's so true. I still get it. I would just make the comment is I tried to force myself to learn it, and I don't think I was ready, and more time has passed, and I think I still need more time, but if I forced it, I couldn't see it. I tried so hard, and I just wasn't ready.
Yeah,
I think that's another one of the ego's tricks, is anytime it forces anything, that's the ego.
Yeah, you know, really, that, you know, when you think of that saying, fake it till you make it, that is, to me, for me, again, this is the spiritual ego. This is spiritual ego saying, oh, you should act this way, you should be nice, you should be when, you know, I don't want to be. And so what does it do? It sets up such conflict that I literally deafen myself. I can't, you know, I couldn't possibly hear the Holy Spirit's voice, and yet it comes through. And, you know, so it's, I read this passage the other day, and it, like, again, you know, how many years have I been reading this? And it was like I suddenly, like, heard it, and it talked about that you can have, you know, that you have different levels in your mind, you know, this concrete mind that overlaps or is laid over the true, you know, child of God mind. And it said that, you know, the other levels that, you know, you confuse are the level of emotion and level of behavior. So those are actually, in this split mind, those are on different levels even. So, you know, the emotion tells me I should really be, you know, angry at somebody, but my behavior level tells me that's not socially acceptable. You better not,
mm-hmm.
you know, do anything. So there is another split, you know, right there. And again, the ego's delightedly rubbing its little hands together like, you know, a fly on shit. And gotcha again. it really is, how do you say, it seems so challenging, and yet the Course says, you know, the Course is simple but different. Not difficult, but different. And
mm-hmm.
we're so used to, you know, all the laws of the world, you know, socially that we were brought up with, that, you know, I was having an issue about a situation with someone, and I'm telling you, it was so obscure to me. I was getting upset with some people. I was getting upset with this, you know, physician, thinking, you know, like, wait a minute, I can go on the internet and prove my point. And then finally, in constantly giving it over to the Holy Spirit, it came back down to that, oh, I'm upset with them because I think that what's going on is going to rob me of my peace, that, you know, it can threaten me, that it can harm me in some way. And I was able to, like, let go of it, and, like, then everything shifted. It became, I was able to accept this person's journey, that there was nothing wrong, there was nothing for me to fix about it. This is it's folding just like it should. But if I was doing the fake it till I make it, I would have been saying, oh, yeah, it's their journey, and yet I would have been still having that undercurrent of judgment and anger and, you know, fear constantly coming up. But I will stop talking at this point because we have only about 4 minutes, and let me read the last two paragraphs, and at least this will bring Corinne up to the defense of conflict.
Okay,
so I'll begin again. The last paragraph, page 162 in the Sparkly, you are the will of God. Do not accept anything else as your will, or you are denying what you are. Deny this, and you will attack, believing you have been attacked. But see the love of God in you, and you will see it everywhere, because it is everywhere. See his abundance in everyone, and you will know that you are in him, with them. They are part of you, as you are part of God. You are as lonely without understanding this as God himself is lonely when his sons do not know him. The peace of God is understanding this. There is only one way out of the world's thinking, just as there was only one way into it. Understand totally by understanding totality. Perceive any part of the ego's thought system as wholly insane, wholly delusional, and wholly undesirable, and you have correctly evaluated all of it. This correction enables you to perceive any part of creation as wholly real, wholly perfect, and wholly desirable. Wanting this only, you will have only this only, and giving this only, you will be only this. The gifts you offer to the ego are always experienced as sacrifices, but the gifts you offer to the kingdom are gifts to you. They will always be treasured by God because they belong to his beloved sons who belong to him. All power and glory are yours because the kingdom is his. Good. That's it for this section, and the next section will begin the defense of conflict on page 163. So, any comments? We have a couple minutes left.
It's not related to this, but we might not be able to address it, but I just need to name it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a difficult time with my sister, as I see it through the ego's eyes, being ill, very sick, and I don't know what to say except, something I keep trying to work, of course, through what I see, and yet whatever the feelings are, the feelings keep coming up. So that's it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've been, and it's not getting better, and yet, it's kind of like, I think of the term would be, what do you want? What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And what am I choosing for? But I'm struggling. I really am. So I guess the best I don't know what to say at this point. So just say, okay, keep working it the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts? It's a big one, so I guess in the interest,
yeah,
I understand.
It's tremendous. I'm finding myself in similar circumstances, with my sister, and just recently, with my mother-in-law. And, I have been over the past, several months doing a lot of, again, imploring of the Holy Spirit until I caught, that there's a phrase in the Bible, I ask and receiveth not, I ask amiss. And so it was like, okay, I keep asking and I'm not getting, and so wait a minute, I must be doing something, wrong. I'm asking the wrong thing. So then the next thing I asked for was just some guidance as to, another way of looking at it. And it was an interesting thing, because I don't know if Corinne had mentioned this, but there a book came to my attention, and it's called Proof of Heaven. And Dr. Eben Alexander.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of it?
Yes. Corinne.
Corinne has mentioned it.
Yeah. Has anybody read it?
I haven't read it yet,
but
it's on my list.
I would definitely suggest reading it, because he was not religious. The circumstances of what happened with him were definitely beyond this world's medicine. He literally was hooked up. And don't mistake this. I'm not saying the mistake Susan would make would be to ask for the healing of the body, be it my own body or somebody else's. I cannot tell you the struggle that I, still have. I go in and out of it. But the struggle to admit that it's my mind that needs healing, not the body. The body is a result of the projection of the thoughts, the fear thoughts and everything that I've had. If I'm, my mother used to do this all the time. She'd say, my knee hurts, pray for it. And I used to say, Mom, I can't just pray for your knee. I mean, it's not just your knee. And so, you know, from that, you know, I sort of got this, like, okay, I am praying and I'm asking for the wrong thing. I'm asking for the healing of a body, not the healing of my own mind. And so, anyway, I read Proof of Heaven, and it was a wonderful book. I sent it to my mother-in-law. She read it. It helped her tremendously because he basically was, you know, laying in the hospital, hooked up to all kinds of monitors. He was, without the monitors, you know, if they disconnected, I mean, they were basically at the end of the week, they were going to pull the plug on him. And he had withered away, you know, hands gnarled, turned unto themselves. And without anybody, you know, like any medical reason, he suddenly sat up and he was, you know, in a sense, okay. I mean, he had to go to rehab. But instead, they thought he was going to be a vegetable, that, you know, he had that 1% left of his brain because of the bacteria eating it. He sits up and he's like talking, you know, he's like, okay, he's back teaching. He's a neurosurgeon, for God's sake. It's not, you know, like he's teaching, you know, how to cut out paper cutouts and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a really wonderful book. And he brought back with him this comforting message of the fact that when he, you know, crossed over, that he had no thought of coming back here, except that there was a need, that his son, you know, needed him. And he literally was almost, to me, reliving the fact that he as a child had been adopted, and so he had always felt like rejected. And so, you know, it's a really good read. It's quick, but, you know, he has a lot of really great insights that are very comforting about the fact that, you know, there is no loss if you look at things properly. And then another book that came across my path was, I can't find her name. I've got books all over the place here, but it was something about how my bad brother Billy taught me about life after death. My bad boy brother, that's what it was. And it was by this woman, and I think actually I should stop the recording and just leave. Let's talk for a minute. But anyway, yeah, it's 9:05. I don't know if they cut us off, but let me just.
Sure.
I guess, actually, I think we have to wrap this up. It's the only way to stop the recording. Let's see. Are my notes from Turin on what to do? No, she just said, when done, hang up. All right, then we'll just take it a minute longer.
Okay.
In this story that this woman wrote, again, the second part of the title is, you know, my bad boy brother, you know, taught me that there is life after death, type of thing. Her brother is a 62-year-old heroin addict mess. I mean, absolute mess. And he dies running into a car. And he comes back to her. And the section that, when he comes back, it continues for, you know, like maybe the mid part of the book. And then if you ask me, that's the closest description to what the Course is talking about, the real world, that I've ever read. And then she continues the end of the book, and it's got a different tone to it. It really sounds more like her belief system to me. But at the part where he was communicating with her, it really sounds like what the Course is talking about, the real world. I mean, it's just beautifully communicated. And so, you know, these two books helped me shift into just another place in my mind of, you know, staying open and not believing in the picture of loss and the picture of, you know, anxiety-ridden, you know, terror waking up in the morning because of the grief that I, you know, anticipate, you know, with illness and things like that. So if that's any help,
sure.
Like I said, you know, avail yourself.
The second one, will you find out what the name of the book is? And then the first one, Proof of Heaven, I can tell you that my sister, who has ALS, who is very ill, she was recommended to read the book. So
oh, good.
I thought that was,
it.
And
it
didn't
yeah,
come from
it,
me, so I was, like, very
yeah.
happy about that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was going to say, because this is this issue of trying to fix things, it's, we were
mm-hmm.
talking about it earlier in the call actually tonight, it's something that's followed me throughout my life, and the course has really taught me, and I'm learning more and more to let go of
mm-hmm.
that idea that anything needs to be fixed,
right.
because
right.
sometimes people are just having their own experience.
Yeah.
And it really helps to recognize that. So your sister is having her own experience, and it's perfect for whatever she's come here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps to detach from whatever you think you should be doing to help your sister or whatever emotions that come up, because whatever experience she's having is what she's chosen to come here and experience. So
well said, Deidre, because the course
thank you.
It says the script is written. That means everyone has a script. They came here and they are fulfilling the script that they wrote, but anywhere in that script the course says, you know, it's how you see a brother. We each made an identity for each other. So if you change your mind, at there's some place in the other person's mind that gets shifted to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, is basically, the Course says, the Holy Spirit is your higher mind. It's their higher mind. And that's where, you know, the only true communication can take place. And I just came across the name of the book, and then I think I'm going to have to hang up because it's 10 after 9, and I don't know, like, if they charge Corinne for this or anything.
No problem.
So the book is it's got a really long title. It's The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, How My Bad Boy Brother Proved to Me There's Life After Death, and it's by a woman. Her name is Annie, A-N-N-I-E, Kagan, K-A-G-A-N.
A-A-G-A-N.
Yeah, yeah, K like kitten, A G like George, A N like Nancy. Kagan.
A, like two A's. G,
no.
I think I got.
Yeah, K.
Kagan.
Like kitten. Yeah, Kagan. K A G A N.
You know what? Email me. I'm like, oh my God, because I can't get spell one letter at a time. Sorry.
Okay, K.
K. Sorry.
A. Yeah, A like apple.
Okay.
G like George.
G like George, got it.
A like apple.
Okay.
N like Nancy.
N like Nancy, and I apologize. Thank you very much.
No. Trust me.
I know we got to run, but thank you so much. Thank you, Susan.
Okay.
Thank you, Deidre. And I look forward to talking to you guys again.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Cool.
Blessings.
Okay. Thank you.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Good night, guys. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.